Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. What does that say right there, Jonathan?
Yeah.
That is interesting. This is not a kingdom with a king. It's talking about the government here. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. We have a Congress and a Senate and a Supreme Court, and they are so out of focus. They're so off the rails. That's what he's saying here. Mm-hmm. You are a republic, but you're wearied because your counsels, your government structure is not working anymore. And turn on the news for 30 seconds. You will see that.
Yes.
Just absolute anti-God coming from one side of the house. Moderate, middle-of-the-road God-fearing coming from the other side of the house. You know, the Senate is just, if it's not what we think, we won't vote for it. If it's something good for the country, but it's sponsored by that man you have as president right now, we will not vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art wearied in the multitudes of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Your government is out of whack. Who can fix it? Because those people he listed there, that was sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly procrastinators fix you. Yeah, like that's going to happen. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There's another key there. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. All of society, and you know, you read that along with Daniel, along with Revelation, what you see after the attack is a nation, government entirely broken, millions dead, and no technology, no electricity. Just from in a moment's time, in 1 hour, taken back to the Stone Age. It's an absolute all-out nuclear strike. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. From thy youth they shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Not a single ally will stand up and attempt. In fact, there's another spot in here. I mean, in Daniel, we've seen where America came out of England. It's very, very impressive the way it was written. There's only one nation that could be identified as America. Daniel says there was a great nation, ruled the entire world. The motto of Great Britain was the sun never sets on the British Empire, because they owned real estate all the way around the world. There were no armies great enough to defeat them. There were no navies great enough to defeat them. And it says out of that nation comes another nation that becomes greater and mightier than that one. And that ties in with here and there and a lot of other places. And then there's one spot that says after this great battle where America is destroyed, it says England has a different mind now. It's like, oh, yeah, we were allies, but we were getting ready to maybe not be allies, so yeah, don't shoot any missiles at us.
Yeah.
It's not comical.
No.
But you know, I take great pride, and you know, some types of pride are okay. Proud in your life is not. I do take pride. I serve this nation in uniform. I take pride knowing that our last mission for God was to defend the nation of Israel. That gives me great heartwarming, like we're going to go out with a bang, doing the right thing. Chapter 48, Book of Isaiah. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. Ah, sounds like religious people, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read that one more time. You know, watch what you read. It's very cool. You got to pay attention. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness, for they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. I have shown you, God says, the mighty miracles I have performed right in your presence. You call yourselves mine in name only. You go through all the religious customs, and we've said here many times, God hates religion. Religion will end you in hell. God wants a personal relationship. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow breath, stiff-necked. He normally just says stiff-neck. He's making it even stiffer now, mm-hmm. with iron and breath. Contrary, stubborn people who will not follow me with all their heart, Christian. Examine your lives. All of you out there that devote 45 minutes to God every Sunday, examine your lives. All of you out there that confess Jesus Christ and his perfect salvation and hold on to the law, that one's scary. God's going to ask you one day, why did you think my son's perfect sacrifice wasn't just good enough? What do you say? I just needed to keep Sunday holy, Lord. I was doing a little extra. Why would the sacrifice of my son need anything extra? I just felt a little holier when I did it. Oh, his perfect sacrifice didn't make you holy? You see where that goes? There's no answer. Don't be there trying to answer those questions. Sunday's not the Sabbath anyway, religious fool. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. I won't call you a fool. I'll call you a religious fool, though. Anyone that relies on religion is a fool. This Bible says it 1,000 places. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. God made sure.
Get the box.
Yes. Go get the golden box. It'll save us. God made sure when he did all of these amazing miracles that they knew it came directly from him. There was no chance that silver idol you had on the fireplace done it. He made sure of it, he says. I made sure you knew where these miracles came from with your own eyes and ears. Thou hast heard all, see all this, and I will not ye, and will ye not declare it? You've seen it all, but why won't you tell the world about it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things. Thou didst not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them. Not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. All of the knowledge that I gave you came from me. It didn't come from you, and you know that. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. that kind of is very cloaked in the fact that he brings you into this life in a veiled, innocent fashion. You see that there, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. Why do you think God brings you into this life in a perfect, innocent fashion, without the foreknowledge that you had? Because he says, I knew you for I placed you in the womb. He says it will corrupt you. Coming here, can you imagine a child coming here, fresh out of the womb, knowing the secrets of God, knowing the history of God? For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee off, not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? Ay, ay, ay. You bring disgrace to God. You bring a bad name to Christianity. That's a bad situation to be in, Christian. And I know we all do it. We all disgrace our faith sometimes. Don't tell me you don't. You'll be lying, disgracing your faith. We all step out of line with our Christian name tag on. And someone will bring it to our remembrance, and we kind of wish the Christian name tag wasn't there just for a second. Because we know we're bringing disgrace to God and His Son and the message. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. My right hand has spanned the heaven. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Interesting there. Christ is his right hand.
And so his hand is bigger than the entire sky and everything that you could imagine in it. Like, give you a, you know, scale or a size. Yeah. Scale.
Yeah. I see something even more there. They stand up together. Sons of God. Job once says the sons of God assembled themselves before God one day, because he had called them. And Christ is called his right hand. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? Which among them have declared these things? He's saying, not even the host of heaven. I, the Lord God, have done it all. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I see Christ there as the coming victor, the bringer of wrath. The pronouns. Read it again. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. He was just talking about the stars of heaven. They all rise up when I call. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear, he says. Which among them hath declared these things? Question. The Lord hath loved him. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon. Ha. That was the wrath of God we were just talking about coming down. And his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. A powerful people, I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. And I see a lot of Christ there in times, coming back as the conquering Messiah this time. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Does that say he's the Lord thy God that teaches you good economics, Jonathan?
That's what it seems like.
What profiteth a man if he lose his own soul? The only profit to a man is to find God, to follow God with all his heart. And if you do that, he will profit you while you're here on this earth, economically. But the only profit, and he says, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. I taught you how to follow me with all your heart. You just refuse to do it. Because you won't take control of this carnal mind, which is mixed with the seed of the serpent, because the children of Israel didn't cleanse the land of all of those who were of the seed of the serpent when they came out of Egypt, as I told them to, I demanded them to. My servant Moses demanded them to. All of the flock leaders told them to. But they just wouldn't do it. So now we're all mixed, and it's up to you to take control of this carnal mind and lead this flesh in the straight and narrow path. And if you do, I will profit you. One day your soul will be lifted up. John says, I give you the chance to become sons of God, the ability to become a son of God. The angels didn't have that ability. They're servants. Always be servants, unless God has a later plan for them. He says you can be higher than the angel. Become sons of God if you follow me with all your heart. That thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. It's exactly what he said. Nothing to do with economics. If you had only listened to the everlasting covenant that I gave to Abraham, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And the circumcision was just an outward expression that I belong to God, just like the baptism that Christ has. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. The law was a punishment. But we like holding on to the law. It makes us feel holy. Yeah, you see where they got the Pharisees when Christ came? Oh, this guy, he kind of fits all of these prophecies. But he wants to tear down the religious establishment that Phineas started. We're making in all kinds of money behind the pulpit. The temple is wealthy. We are like the big kahunas when we walk out into the marketplace. Everyone wants to say, oh, the chief priest walked past me today and I smelled his perfume. Religion. Religion grows the egos and the pride of mankind. Big fancy church, big fancy cathedral. You know, Christ's churches started in living rooms and basements. I remember the, Crystal Cathedral out in California. You remember that one, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't say this is true. I heard it was $1 million cleaning bill per month. I'd like to know if that was actually true.
Wow. Yeah.
But that takes me back to the, I tell this joke every once in a while. The guy in sandals and a tank top came into the church one day, and he listened to the sermon, sitting in the back, and the deacon come up to him at the end of the service and says, how'd you enjoy the place? He said, yeah, I enjoyed the message, you know. Yeah, love thy neighbor. Pick up trash on Saturdays. It was good. Be a good student in your community. He says, yeah, but, you know, you kind of didn't fit in with your attire that you were wearing. He says, I didn't think about that when I walked in the church. The deacon says, you come back next Sunday? He says, yeah, I'd like to come back at least again. He says, well, pray about what you should wear and see if God gives you any guidance on what you should wear when you come to this church. So he comes strolling in the next week, in a tank top and flip-flops. And the deacon meets him at the door. He says, I thought you were going to pray about what to wear when you come to this church. And he says, I did. And I mean, God and I have a good relationship. He says, I prayed about it. And God, I asked God, you know, what should I wear to this church? And God says, you know, Bill, I really don't know. I've never been there. You know, that's what these crystal cathedrals are.
Yep.
That's what these, you know, does God actually go? The Spirit of God actually go to your church? Or are there reasons for him not to go there? Hatred? Love of money? Racism? Politics? You bring those things in, he's not going to come. And I'm not saying churches shouldn't be involved somewhat in politics, because this nation's Revolutionary War was fostered in the pulpits of the churches at the time. A cry out to righteousness. But the pulpit better have, if it's going to dabble in politics, it better be a righteous politics.
Non-biased.
It better be things that come out of this book.
Right.
If you're defending a political party from your pulpit that wants abortions from day one to the time it's born.
Yeah. And then after.
And then after. Mm-hmm. You're a little off base there. That's nothing God would support. Mm-mm. If you're defending a political party from your pulpit, wants to give out needles to drug dealers, wants to legalize crime and drugs, nothing God would support.
Mm-mm.
If you're defending a political party from your pulpit that says it's okay for men to wear women's attire and call themselves females, go into women's bathrooms, mutilate children, trying to change their sex. I don't care what you do to your body. When you stand before God, you will be known as you were known the day you were born. Mm-hmm. There will not be on the checklist when you go into God's kingdom a place for any other pronoun.
Yeah.
He or she, that's it. You better question whether you are just religious or whether you actually have a relationship with God. And you know which party I'm talking about. The Democrat Party. The most godless, antichrist party that has ever come about in this nation. Not saying the other party is perfect. No. But I see a whole lot more on the other side of the aisle where God could actually bless. There's nothing on the Democrat side of the aisle God could actually bless by reading his book. I think Satan has his hands wrapped around that party so tightly that there's a veil of ignorance over anyone that calls himself that. Got off on a political tirade there.
Yeah, I understand, though. I mean, and I'm right there with you, because at the moment you think that, you know, somebody or a group of people who stand under the umbrella of saying that we have mobile child sacrifice units, I mean, yeah, abortion clinics,
yeah. Yeah.
Then they have nothing to do with God.
And I know churches around here, and they are 90% Democrat. And how in the world? It breaks my heart, because I'm thinking, if you support that, you cannot have any knowledge of God. You cannot know what his word has said. And you're obviously going to church to cover yourself in a religious cloak to make yourself feel like you somewhat belong to God. And it will end in hell.
It's very perverse.
It's scary for those people whom I know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Religion will end you in hell. You must have a relationship with God. Thy seed also has been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rocks for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Basically wraps it up there with, I am God. If you rely on me, I can get you to the end. If you rely on me, I brought you forward. In the desert, I fed you and I watered you. There's nothing beyond what I can do. And the last verse, there is no hope for the wicked, because I am the Lord. And I'm talking to you churches out there, those I was just talking about. Be careful. Be careful. When you go into the ballot box and you pull the lever, that is a record of what you are supporting in this country. And if it's anti-God, you have just made a record that you voted anti-God that day. How many records in the past do you have voted anti-God? Well, I'm not anti-God. I love God. I just vote Democrat because they want to keep the grass cut in the park.
Family tradition.
You know? Yeah, go ahead and find one item on that ticket that makes you feel like you still need to vote there. Yeah, like you said, Jonathan, family tradition. And I have a best friend that does not, he's more conservative than anything, but does not vote anything other than Democrat because his father voted Democrat. Mm-hmm. And his father voted Democrat. But you know what? If they went back one more generation, they would have seen that most of them voted on the other side of the aisle. But it's not that. You are making a record. I am voting anti-God here today. I am voting for killing children. I am voting for lawlessness. I am voting for transgenderism. I am voting for homosexuality. Yeah, I'm voting for the sodomites that God here said many times, throw them out, get rid of them, cut them off. Mm-hmm. Or I will rain down brimstone. Ah, maybe that's the missiles that are going to rain down on America one day. What we talked about a little earlier. Brimstone. Kind of very similar, isn't it?
Sulfur.
Oh, got off on a little bit of a tirade here today. In Isaiah. Good to be here with you. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.